Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to NGW High Voltage. I am the camera guy, and you'll notice that, unfortunately, today, I don't have my co-host with me. Scott actually had a eye doctor appointment today, and as a part of the eye doctor appointment, he had to get his eyes dilated. And as we all know, when you get your eyes dilated, you unfortunately can't drive yourself home. So Donde was actually kind enough to pick Scott up and drive him home. And we haven't heard from Donde or Scott since then. So I'm going to be flying solo here tonight. But on the good news, we are 16 days away from NGW Endless Winter. And I am absolutely looking forward to this show. There is so much that is going to be going on. We're going to be having Logan Ridge versus Sid Holland. Sid Holland recently cleared to actually compete again here. Our co-CEO, Jason Halbert, has decided that he wants to see them knock some sense into each other. We're also going to be seeing Dur Kolthar versus CW Graves, and CW Graves is going to be defending his Chaotic Championship, which he won off of Sid Holland after breaking his undefeated streak of 2 years. We're also going to be seeing The Fam versus TNT. The Fam is going to be looking to recapture the NGW Tag Team Championship after a little bit of trickery resulted in them taking the Tag Team Championship away from The Fam at Forsaken. We're also going to be seeing Dexter Roswell in his second title defense of the NGW Heavyweight Championship against a world-traveled Mickey Midas, who's brought to us by Ringside Rivalries. We're also going to be seeing Playboy Double H versus Ricky Cruz in a Fans Bring the Weapons match, and PYT is going to be locked up, so they will not be able to interfere or, you know, have any type of an outcome on the match. And we're also going to be having the first ever qualifying match for the brand new NGW Women's Championship. And that's going to be Lexi Green, who we have seen a few times already in NGW and making her NGW debut next. That is going to be an absolutely hard-hitting match. And last but not least, brought to us by Ringside Rivalries, we are going to be seeing Tobias Storm defending his NGW Lightning Division Championship against tonight's guest, TJ Kellis. And that is going to be just an absolutely banger of a match. I can pretty much guarantee you that right now. Now, thank you everybody for joining us. I also want to do a quick thank you to our sponsors. We have Nick's Home Decor, Bi-State Termite and Pest Control, Needful Things Boutique in Muskuta, Laser Monkey Engraving, Ringside Buffet in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and our newest sponsor, Ringside Rivalries. Check them out on Facebook and YouTube. Now, I don't want to delay any further. I want to get us right into our guest. And as we're talking with our guest, remember to please comment down below, because that is how we will pick who TJ will be playing for to win a prize tonight. Now, let's go over a bit of TJ's accomplishments here real quick. TJ has been the IWA Productions Tag Team Championship. He is the current number one contender for the NGW Lightning Division Championship. He has wrestled across multiple promotions, IWA Productions, New Genesis Wrestling, No Fold Wrestling, SMPW, Stride Pro Wrestling, IEW. He has been in the game for over 11 years. Now, if everybody would please join me in welcoming our guest today, TJ Kellis. TJ, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Excited to bring in the new year. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful myself. Now, wanted to start out real quick by our little fun fact on our card. Let me bring this back up here. Is that you adapted more of a high-flying in-ring style after a shoulder injury. Now, NGW fans, I'm sure, are mostly more familiar with your current high-flying style with you doing the backflip into the ring during your entrance and also a lot of your high-impact, high-flying moves during your matches. Do you mind telling us a little bit real quick about coming back from an injury and at that time choosing that's when you wanted to change up your style?
So it's actually a funny story. I was not a high flyer whatsoever beforehand. And after I tore my labrum in my shoulder, I was out for over a year. And out of that time frame, I was doing a lot of soul searching. I was doing a lot of literal watching wrestling consistently and watching my favorite talents on stuff. And I'm just like, I've always wanted to be a high flyer. I've always loved that style. And beforehand, I was just too scared to do it whatsoever. And I just was like, okay, I want to make a big splash when I come back. So what can I do different? Change my style. I'm a small guy. I'm athletic. You know, I want to be different. So, and there's not too many high flyers around the area. So I decided when I came back, I was just going to start attempting to do the high flying stuff in front of the crowds rather than just do it in training, goofing off. And the backflip itself, more so, I actually adapted from, I don't know if a lot of people remember this, but Brian Kendrick and Paul London from the WWE. Where they would come out in their masks. They would bolt to the ring like John Cena, but faster. They would slide in. They would get up on each turnbuckle. You know, simultaneously, they would backflip off, land on their feet, and just the crowd would go completely nuts. And I'm just like, I want that. So I was like, I'm going to try to do that myself. So I practiced it a couple times, and I got excited on it. And I'm just like, This literally amps me up. I want to keep doing this. And then every time I do it, the crowd goes wild for me. And I'm like, I love it.
And we actually have a question down here in the comments from Dadar. TJ, what is your favorite moves that you do? That's actually something I've been wondering for a while myself.
Well, I love doing the lion salt. It's fun to me. But I've always loved the Swanton Bomb from Jeff Hardy. And I always liked it when he did that early 2000s, complete arch in the air before he would spin.
And
I just was like, I want to try to do that. And I'm like, that would be cooler rather than it just looking like a flip. So I decided I wanted to try and do that, and I love jumping off the top rope, so I'm like, it's perfect. And before I even did that, I started doing the cross body and all that stuff, and everybody was getting a kick out of that. And then my old tag team partner, Pretty Boy Floyd, goes, can you do the frog splash? I'm like, yeah. Like, I love Eddie Guerrero and them. I was like, yeah, I can do the frog splash. He goes, how high? I'm like, what? He goes, how high can you get? I don't know. Let's see it tonight. And so he had me start doing the frog splash, and I just started evolving into that. So I like doing the crossbody. Is not my favorite move. Like, it's just, I don't know what it is. I can do it, but it's not one of my favorites. But it's Swanton, the frog splash. I love anything new I can attempt. I love. Like, there's a lot of stuff I haven't done yet that I'm probably going to be starting to do in 2025 and a lot of stuff. So that's yet to come. But yeah, there's a lot of my favorites that I haven't even done yet. And there's specific ones that, I do currently that everybody sees that I really enjoy. Like, I love doing the standing moonsault. I love doing, the lion salt, like I said. And actually, there might be a couple that I do currently that I forgot I do. So, I don't know.
Well, Ariel says in the comments here, recently saw you to kind of like an upside down crawl at a show. What was the motivation for that?
So that was at Ignite. And at least I think that's the one she's talking about. It's my, my version of my, Bray Wyatt tribute.
Okay.
I always loved Bray Wyatt's character, the human being, and I love his character, the Fiend. And I just, you know, always thought that, you know, when he did the, you know, thing, I was like, that's kind of creepy, but cool. I like that. And it's outside of the box. It's something to kind of, you know, put your opponents, you know, not at ease. It's something to freak them out a little bit and be like, what is that? That also gives you the advantage right there. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that because they're not expecting it. So it's not going to be done in every match. But when I do, it's going to weird them out and they're going to freeze for a second. And that's when I can take the advantage.
Yes. And we have Dara. Do you see yourself ever having a match with Playboy at all? Or if you had to choose, who would you face?
Ooh.
Playboy, of course, our current right to fight contract holder for the NGW Heavyweight Championship.
So I know I faced Playboy in a tag match, but I've never faced him one on one. So that would be kind of interesting for me, especially facing somebody new solo wise I've never faced before. Tag team wise, yes, but there's honestly a difference between tag team and solo singles. So doing a solo would be, you know, interesting to me. And there's a whole bunch of guys I would love to, you know, get in the ring and fight and all that stuff. And like, I want a rematch with Shrapnel eventually, maybe.
Yeah, you had a match with him earlier this year at Battle Lines.
Yeah.
And he got the upper hand on you, but when we see him return to the NGW ring, you want to another go there.
Yeah, I want to put, whether it's singles or tag, I just think me and him would mix it up really well.
I mean, you definitely mixed it up really well with him in your match at Battle Lines. I remember the favorite photo, we'll see if we can get it pulled up here in a minute, of both of you in the air doing a drop kick simultaneously.
Yeah, and something.
And just real quick, looks like we have an update from Donde. He dropped referee Scott off at iPlace, had to get Herman a snack, trying to find way back now. Donde, don't text and drive, first off. It's very dangerous. Secondly, if you put in the location into the phone, it should take you there. And be very careful with Scott's car. We all remember what happened when you drove Sid's car.
Oof.
Yeah. So now, TJ, we went over a little bit a moment ago about how you faced Shrapnel at Battle Lines.
Yeah.
He got the upper hand on you there, but at Energy, Attitude, and Toughness, you actually faced off against Logan Ridge.
Yeah.
And that was, again, another one of your wonderful high flying matches. And I'm not sure if you remember how that match ended, but here we see there was a little bit of a kerfuffle on the outside of the ring, thanks to Jason Halbert, which, as you said earlier, you like to take the opportunity when you can. You took the opportunity to sneak in there, grab a roll up for the 1-2-3.
Yep. Man, that hair, I swear. And with red hair. Yeah, that thing was, they were having issues, and I was just coming pretty much to, because I was, my lights were pretty much out. And I saw him not paying attention, and I took the opportunity because I want to win. So
yes,
that's what I did. I took the opportunity and I rolled him up, and surprisingly enough, I successfully did it.
I mean, the unexpected roll up is one of the most devastating moves in professional wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, it can come out of nowhere.
Exactly. And if you're not prepared for it, you're not going to have the wherewithal to do what's necessary to actually kick out of it. Get that leverage up underneath your shoulders. And let's pull that picture back up here again real quick. I mean, you had him leveraged down to where I don't see any possible way that he could have gotten the leverage to actually kick out of that.
Yeah. And it goes to show you right there with the match with Logan that literally everybody, and I'm not just saying this personally, I'm literally saying everybody expected Logan Ridge just to walk through me and beat me in literally a 2-3 minute time frame. And to their surprise, to the fans' surprise, the result was different.
Yep, and then the next time that we saw you in NGW was actually you in a tag team match. You were teaming with Marco Hendricks against the Taco World Order, El Coyote and El Magnifico. Mm-hmm. And hard-hitting match, but the most defining point of the match is this right here. You going in for the tag, Marco reaching out for your hand, and a split second later, as you're coming in to get that tag, he pulls his hand back.
Yeah.
And after he pulls his hand back, he jumps off the ring apron, goes to the back, and you take a pen.
Yep, and that's happened to me on more than one occasion with different people and different companies. But something was fishy about him from the start. And I knew that. I mean, especially because of everybody sees his ego that he has. Like, I seen it right away when, as I was going for my signature backflip for the fans, I couldn't even do that because he immediately cuts me off with his entrance because he can't wait to come out and get all the glory for himself. And then completely, throughout most of the match, ignores letting me get in the ring because he wants all of it for himself. And I did what I could, but in the end, I was expecting something, but I didn't know what to expect because I don't know the guy. That happened. And that, that was a more of a learning lesson for me on, certain trust issues. And I'm going to be a lot more careful and a lot more smarter, in 2025 with stuff like that.
Well, it seemed to be that you actually picked up between that match and your next match, which was a three-way match between yourself, El Coyote, and Billy Ray at Forsaken. Here's a nice shot of you getting a good hit on Billy Ray during that match. And you and El Coyote actually worked very well together multiple different points in that match.
Yeah.
And then at some point you decided, that it was a three-way.
Yeah.
So you did do a little bit of targeting El Coyote at one point, but that didn't work out very well, unfortunately, because he is a very strong individual. Caught you right out of the air. And at the end of the night, El Coyote got the pen on Billy Ray during that match, but he showed you quite a little bit of respect there at the end.
Oh, yeah. Which I was not expecting, which shocked me. But that also, that picture of that, him catching me in the crossbody goes to show you, literally, even though high flying is cool and all that stuff and it's fun to watch, it's called high risk for a reason.
Yes. And
there's a lot of times that it doesn't go your way and that it can be countered. It just depends. You can get high flyers have more of a risk of getting injured than anybody because of that high risk offense. But a lot of the times it's worth it. Sometimes it's not. It's all about the risk. Are you willing to put it all on the line to try and get that victory? And I am.
And we got another question in the comment. TJ, who is the one wrestler you think cheats a lot in matches? By the way, I like your backflip off the ropes.
The one wrestler I think cheats a lot during matches. That's a lot of them. But if I'd have to pick anybody, I'd have to say PYT. Not just one of them, all of them.
Well, we had Playboy on a couple of weeks ago, and he was very averse to calling it cheated. He more liked a term along the lines of creative tactics.
Well, Eddie Guerrero did have that famous lineup, it's not cheating if you're not trying.
Yes.
There is that, but it depends on the person's view. So
I will full-heartedly agree with you there. Now, to go back to a point you made a little bit ago about the high-risk maneuvers that you take off of the top rope and multiple time during your matches. We had Dexter on a few weeks ago in which we discussed his match at Centralia Slam, where at the end of the match, he had to pull a high-risk maneuver out of his bag of tricks that he'd never used before and actually do one of his landslide kicks off the top rope. He did a little bit of discussion about how at that point in time, he made the calculation in his mind that it was worth the risk to go up to the top rope and attempt that high risk maneuver. Do you have a particular calculation that you do in your head when you're preparing for a high risk remover, risk reward type calculation that you do in order to measure if this is a good moment for that?
Yes, actually, a lot of stuff goes through my head every time I do the simplest high flying. And it is a calculation of, you know, how many people are around me. What's the risk of it being reversed or missed? And the biggest one of all, which goes through my head every single time, but also the fear level is actually the accelerant for it, is what happens if I miss? What happens if as soon as I hit that rope, I slip or I don't connect at all? The injury level. And at the same time, I think, but what if I'm successful? It's less about, you know, calculating, you know, the risk on the, like, literally in the moment, and more so of calculating confidence along with, is this what I have to do to try and get the upper hand or win the match? If so, go for it. If not, you know, think of something else. It's all within a second. Like he's not a high flyer, and he did that, you know, high risk maneuver, even though it was a simple high risk maneuver, but for him it was a big one.
Right. And
it was based off of, in just my view, it was based off of watching it. He had done everything he could. Nothing was working, and in order for him to successfully grab it, he had to go outside of his comfort zone, outside of his own box, and do whatever he could, including doing a high-flying, high-risk maneuver that he's not used to doing, to put it all on the line for that ending result.
Yeah, wonderful. That is, see, we got Amanda Joplin, Anna-Marie Joplin. I've heard a rumor you're scared of heights. Does your high flying scare you at times?
Oh, God. As a matter of fact, that is 100% true. Even as a high flyer, I am terrified of heights.
How do you overcome that in order to do these incredible maneuvers?
It's a in the moment type of thing. It's literally, I don't think about the fear. I just think about the ending results. And I think about the task at hand rather than, holy crap, this is really high, or, you know, you know, I'm flipping and I can't see where I'm going type thing, you know, all that stuff. So I just don't think about it. But when I go on, you know, rides or something like that, it's just, or when I'm climbing, you know, up really high or whatever, I have enough time to think about it. And I'm like, don't look down. Oh my God. But in the moment during the moves, I don't have time to think about that. So it helps.
Okay. That's... Oh, we got another question from Dar. When you come out for your matches, what goes through your head? Are you scared, or what goes through your head when you come out?
I'm amped up and ready to go. I'm ready to entertain the fans, and I'm ready to put on one of the best matches I can, which I will actually get better and improve on in 2025. But in all honesty, I have that's actually the typical answer for me. But what actually happens is when I'm standing at that curtain or crouching since I crawl out, yeah. I have a lot of anxiety, and I have that heart pounding feeling go through my chest. And I think, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But as soon as the music hits and it's my cue to go out, literally, I don't know how it happens. Every time I start opening that curtain and start crawling out, all of that goes away. Literally. Like, I don't feel my heart racing. I don't feel, you know, that anxiety no more. I don't know what it is. I guess it's, you know, the fans, you know, I'm just in the moment. I don't know. But all that goes out the window as soon as I go out that curtain, and I just transform. It's amazing to me on how that works.
And I mean, does it also help too that when you're coming out, you do have that mask on?
Somewhat, yes, because the fact is they can't see my face at first, which is interesting for new people who come to the show and see that for the very first time. But other than that, you know, other than me sweating because it's hot under there, it gives me a chance to, you know, with the mask on, it gives me a chance to collect myself. You know, I get to see my surroundings and all that stuff. See, you know, how the fans are reacting, you know, and everything. See all the kids and everything. And it's just, it gives me a good moment to look at everything and think about, you know, why I'm doing this. So the mask definitely helps me mentally prepare. And it's a cool visual at the same time.
Yes, most definitely. And TJ, you have the best entrance and moves, but I have to stay loyal to PYT. But you just go out there and do what you do best.
Well, I appreciate it.
And Anne-Marie asking, what was the inspiration for crawling out and masking your entrance? Was it done just because of your tag team with Pretty Boy Floyd?
No. It just so happened that I started it then. No, the inspiration behind the crawl out was simply because I was a big fan of Finn Balor. Still am. And his demon character. And he had that demon crawl he always came out with whenever he did the character, just that character alone. And I was like, I kind of like that. And since, you know, my mom always told me I was kind of like a spider, you know, since, you know, I was quiet, but I was very agile and quick and all that stuff. And since Halloween's my favorite, you know, time of the year, and I was born in October, my mom's like, you're like a spider. And I'm like, I might actually use that. So when I came up with the crawl idea, I was like, I'm going to make it the spider crawl. And I just, and the reason I came up with that in an instant was because I wanted to try and find out what could I do different to set myself apart from everybody else. So I decided, okay, instead of walking out and instead of running out or jumping out, I'm going to crawl out of the curtain as if I look like a little demon or a monster or whatever anybody wants to call that crawl. You know, everybody has their own preference. I'm going to do that because it solidifies I am different. I'm not just like everybody else. Because I'm not normal. But then again, who is? But that was the inspiration. Nobody was doing it, you know, full-time at least. And I hadn't seen anybody doing it since, you know, Finn Balor. And I was like, I kind of want to do that because it kind of fits my personality of being completely an oddball. And then I just so happened to incorporate the mask at the same time. And then literally within a switch, me and Floyd were teaming up, and I was like, I'm just going to debut it here because it's perfect with him because of how different he is. And he's wide open, and, you know, he opened my creativity up and all that stuff. So it just fit naturally, just bringing it in there. But at the same time, I've also been doing it outside of the tag team with him at all the other companies. So I'm trying to make that, you know, a solo thing to where it's not just the Freaks thing, but it's the TJ Kellis thing.
Great. You know, one of the most interesting things to me in regards to your entrance overall is that when you come out, then when it's the first time somebody actually seeing you, there's a little bit of mixture on their faces of, oh, this is cool. What is this?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that a lot.
So you've got it perfect in that an entrance for when is the first time somebody's seeing you, you're trying to convey very quickly to the audience who you are and what you're about.
Yeah. That's why with my entrance being kind of a weirdo thing, I don't know what you call it. It's just me with my, you know, my brain, how it works, incorporating all that stuff together with somebody seeing me like, what is this? Or what the heck am I watching type thing. And then incorporating, you know, with the high flying backflip, it, you know, when I get in the ring and all that stuff, it's just a little combo of me saying I'm a high flyer. I'm exciting, but I'm here to entertain you and let's have some fun.
TJ, we got somebody out. Donnie.
Hello. Hello? I'm trying to find Ridley Scott.
Did he have his appointment already?
I think so. I think we took a left turn when we should have went right.
Are you in Albuquerque again?
GPS not help.
You are driving in the wrong direction. Please turn around.
Oh, crap!
Donnie?
Donnie, what?
Donde, I'm gonna let you go so you can try to find Scott here. Be a little bit more careful, okay?
Welcome to Minnesota. Is that Minnesota? Oh crap!
Oh my goodness. Minnesota.
Man.
Scott, if you're watching, your ride's in Minnesota.
Oh,
wow.
I'm glad he can't see that.
That is... How I well, I don't know what to say to that other than, well, first off, like, how, but that is, I hope we'll actually get to see Scott next week at this rate.
Hopefully,
let's pray for Scott and guidance for the GPS. Yes, oh my goodness, why do you guys send well. I didn't send Donde. Herman was with him. And I think Scott picked Donde to a little bit of a trade back from all the times that Scott's given Donde a lift. But we've got Darter asking, which wrestler do you think you'll beat in the future besides Playboy?
Hopefully all of them. Like... with me, that's the thing going into 2025. With me, it's about being more of a serious, you know, wrestler, you know, and everything to where it's not just about, you know, going out and having fun. I want to I want to show and prove that I can win championships and I can be known as one of the top guys and be, you know, I could be in that, you know, wrestler of the year, you know, match of the year, moment of the year, you know, category, and not just, you know, this match, you know, he was in this match, he was on the show, it was cool and stuff, but oh my God, this, oh my God, that, I want to be in there. I want to be in that area of, they can't forget about that, to where instead of it being, you know, a list of, you know, big names, then you get these other names to where you don't really, you know, they're there, but you don't really mention them as much until the conversation comes up. I want TJ Kellis to be one of the top names that everybody thinks of.
Well, coming up here, you're going to have the absolute chance on that. I mean, and you actually got that chance at Centralia Slam when you went up against Marco Hendricks.
Yeah, that match hurt.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, another example of doing a high risk maneuver here, because you, right before this, you had gone up to the top rope looking to utilize a high risk maneuver and it got reversed on you.
Yeah. Yeah, it got countered, and that was one heck of a fall.
Yep. And that match actually ended in your favor as a result of a disqualification, because Marco wouldn't break his pummeling of you at one point and actually shoved referee Scott, who threw Marco out of the match as a result.
If you remember correctly, it's because of that same move that you showed, I kicked out of it.
And yes. It made him mad because where he just kept beating down on you.
Because I wouldn't quit and he got angry.
Yep. And as a result of that match, you are now the number one contender to face Tobias Storm for the NGW Lightning Division Championship. Now, Tobias has been an absolutely dominant champion since he won the title off of El Magnifico earlier this year.
Yeah.
But he is also one of the last remaining members of the New Deal under co-CEO Jason Halbert. And we've seen that earlier this year, you defeated Logan Ridge, as Logan was under Jason Halbert. So, you know, Jason likes to keep a close eye on his investments. Do you expect him to be at ringside and maybe do a little repeat of your capitalization that you did against Logan Ridge if he does any sort of potential interference during the match?
Why would I not think anything less than him trying to sneak something? He's a snake. Literally, he's always out there. He's always causing issues. He's always trying to get the upper hand for his men. It's like, why don't he get in the ring? You know, why don't somebody pummel him for once? Type, you know, that's the attitude he gives off. He has that face everybody wants to punch.
It's happened a few times in the last few shows.
Yeah.
But do you think that, as I said, with Tobias being the last remaining member of the New Deal, this is Halbert's last real grip. It's the last little bit of gold that the New Deal holds. Do you think that that's going to be something that's going to push him to really try to pull something out new against you? Or do you think you need to keep a little bit closer eye on Jason Halbert during this match, or are you just primarily going to focus on Tobias?
Okay, so I'm always going to have it in the back of my head with Halbert being out there. That's just the, you know, the conclusion of it, that he's going to have something to do. But my primary focus, no matter what, is going to be beating Tobias and taking that NGW Lightning Division Championship. And not only that, but becoming my first singles championship.
Yep, you've held gold before. Mm-hmm. You shared the tag team championships in IWA production with Pretty Boy Floyd. Yeah. So you're no stranger to being in top tier championship matches, but this would be your first singles title.
Yeah. Like, that tag team run was the highlight of my career as of now. And I hate that it's gone, but now it's time to move on, move to bigger and better things, and go for singles gold. And my first stop is dethroning Tobias Storm.
And a very interesting thing about the last year that you've had that I noticed as we were going through is that you have a better singles record than tag team or multi-man record for over the past year, 2024.
Yeah. So, with me, it's no secret. Other than Floyd, I have not had the greatest record tag team wise. And it's just because they don't understand me and there's no chemistry there most of the time. Yeah, they may be friends with me and all that stuff, but there's a difference between being friends and being on the same page when you're in the ring. And when it comes to multi-man, that's just a scramble in of itself, literally. You don't know what's going left, what's going right, and what's hitting you right in the face. So that it's just unexpected. So singles-wise, I get to mainly focus priority on me. And, you know, getting the victories. Not all the time do I win. I wish I won a lot more than I've won so far. But that's why 2025 is going to be different. That's why I'm going to be more serious. That's why I'm going to be more focused. And that's why I'm going to win a lot more in 2025 than I have done prior. Because I'm ready to be a top-tier talent. I'm ready to have people mention my name first and foremost in any category, whether it's NGW, IWA, No Full Pro Wrestling, Ignite. It doesn't matter. I don't want to just take part. I want to take over.
Now, is this going to be your first time stepping in the ring against Tobias Storm?
As far as I can remember, yes. Because it will be the first time because whenever I first seen Tobias, was at IWA and he was in the IWA light heavyweight area, and he became champion quick, and he was doing a whole scramble with everybody. And I think at the time when he first came in, I was still hurt. I think I was still recovering and all that stuff, to be honest, but I'm not for sure. I've been hit too many times. but singles wise, tag wise, I've never done a tag match with him, whether it be teaming or against. So this would be the very first time I have been in the ring opposite of Tobias Storm. But that excites me. That actually makes me amped up.
And is that because it's a new competitor that you haven't faced before?
Oh, yes. I love facing new people because I don't know what to expect. Like, there's those that you face that you faced multiple times, so you kind of know what to expect from them. So you kind of know what match you're kind of going into, so you can get a game plan going and how to, you know, do that. But when it's somebody new or somebody that you've known or know, but you've never faced before, whether it be tag or singles, there's a difference in that switch for me because I don't know what to expect. There's a difference between watching him in the ring when I'm just watching the matches, and there's a difference between being in the ring with them. It's a whole different animal to me. It's a whole different mindset. It's like watching his match for the very first time when I'm across from him than it would be watching his match versus somebody else. because it's going to be completely different. Because he's going to be in the ring with me, not them. So it's very exciting for me. But at the same time, I'm not going in to, you know, for a good old-fashioned, you know, wrestling match of just having fun and, you know, let's do some cool stuff. I'm going in to win. I'm going in to take that championship off of him. I'm going in to him being, you know, I know his last name is Storm, but I'm going in with the mindset of you might be Storm, but I'm bringing the thunder. I'm bringing the lightning, and I'm going to strike you down.
Now, there is another element to this match, though, that we haven't talked about yet. And that is at Centralia Slam, Preacher won the right to fight contract for the Lightning Division Championship, which means he can cash that in at any time for the opportunity to have a match for and win the NGW Lightning Division Championship, which means that before the match starts, he could come out, cash in, make it a three-way. Make it a three-way when both of you are down on the mat and the referee is starting a 10 count. Yeah. Or, you know, he could wait until the show's over and haul you out there and with the referee, cash it in then.
Yeah, I've always got that in the back of my head. Besides the point, Preacher scares the living crap out of me. I've been in multiple tag matches against him. So I know what type of beast he is. And I don't take him lightly one bit. But in the moment, not going to say in total, in the moment, I'm not going to be focused on him. I'm going to be focused first on de-strapping Tobias Storm and the new deal. Because what happens? Here's what not everybody's thinking about, because nobody has thought in their minds about me, the underdog, actually accomplishing it. What if and when I dethrone Tobias Storm? Then what does the new deal have left?
You know, there at the beginning of 2024, the new deal had it all. Mm-hmm. Now, all they have is, to the best of our knowledge, Tobias and Halbert and the Lightning Division Championship.
Yep. And they're going
to. I mean, you could potentially be the final nail in the coffin and be the end of the new deal.
Yep. But at the same time, my thought process is, I'm not worried about the new deal itself. I'm just worried about grabbing my first singles championship and going above and beyond, higher and higher.
And now, I'm certain that you've studied some of Tobias's matches.
Somewhat, yes.
Now, Tobias is also somewhat of a high flyer, such as yourself.
Yeah.
Do you adjust your style when you are facing up against another high flyer? Like, say, do you try to adjust what you're doing when you're going up against somebody like Tobias or Shrapnel, as opposed to going up against somebody like El Coyote or Billy Ray?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I'm more cautious because what I can do, they can do. And at the same time, so if I know how to counter something because I can do it, I know they can. If I know I can do something and I know they can do it, I have to be cautious because same time, out of nowhere, they can hit me with that. You know, and they can get the advantage with that high risk maneuver. And also to take in consideration and take in fact that the reason why it scares me that he's a high flyer, because he's also a big muscular man.
Yes, he is.
He's not the typical small guy high flyer. He's got a lot of muscle on him, and it surprises you watching him, you know, first time to see how athletic he is. And that's probably why he's where he is now, because of that. And that scares me, but it excites me because I don't know what to expect but I'm looking forward to it because it's, you know, it's my big chance.
You know, oh, and another thing that Tobias is not lacking at all in is confidence.
Oh, yeah. He's one confident man.
He comes out and the first thing he does is announce his name and presence to the crowd.
Yeah, that's almost a gift meme at this point. But no, that's one thing that he had that I started out without. I started out without having any confidence at all. And it literally had to slowly grow. And, you know, going up against somebody who's nothing but confidence is a little intimidating, but at the same time, funny, because since, you know, confidence comes ego. Ego sometimes crashes and burns when you do it way too much. So maybe, just maybe, one of these times when he decides not to go for a pin but to go for Tobias, I roll him up 1, 2, 3. We don't know. It just all depends.
Yep, and like we've seen before, you do have an eye for opportunity during a match.
Yep. I mean, why would I take it? It's right there. I'm wanting to win the match as well. Like, it's a careful tactic of I don't have to cheat to win. All I got to do is be smart.
We got a message from Dante saying he should not have turned left. There is no telling.
Just don't
Scott, go. Scott, if you're watching, man, you need to like drop a chat in or
something.
You know, message Dante. Let him know where you are at. But yeah, I am absolutely excited for your match coming up here. I mean, it's going to be two hard-hitting high flyers going at each other.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be nervous just because this is my big chance. This is my big opportunity. But I'm going to have fun. But at the same time, I'm going to be completely focused because I want 2025 to be completely different because I want to be taken more seriously. And I want to show that. And I don't want to just be, you know, another goofy, you know, goofy thing that just, you know, goes in the ring and has fun. And, you know, everybody gets to laugh at and, you know, have fun watching. I want to be a serious player. I want to be a top guy. And if that means, you know, in 2025, I get more serious, if that means, you know, I have to amp up my game on a lot of stuff, including, you know, making sure I keep focus on keeping my eyes on the prize rather than going out there and, you know, having fun with my friends. I will. I'll hang out with them later, but I'm going to go into that ring. I'm going to do business and I'm going to make a success and make sure that TJ Kellis is not just another name, you know, that was there, but make sure TJ Kellis is one of the names that is remembered and mentioned.
Well, in 16 days, you are going to have your chance as you go up against Tobias Storm. Now, TJ, I'm not sure if you watched our show before, but we have a little segment on here. I like to play a game with our guests, and I like to call it Shock Therapy.
Yeah, I've been watching this podcast, so I know exactly what this is, and it scares me.
Oh, you shouldn't be scared. So the way this works is we're going to select one person who has been commenting throughout the stream, and TJ Kellis, you are going to be playing for a chance for them to win a signed poster at our next show.
Yeah, play for them.
And tonight you're going to be playing for Dardar. Are you ready, TJ?
Sure, yes.
Now, may our fans know if they've been at our shows and they have seen some of your merchandise or your ring attire, or that you have a slogan, Dare to Dream.
Yeah.
Now, the questions I have for you today are all questions about just that, dreaming. Oh. Are you ready?
No, but I guess we're going to do this anyway.
If you get 2 out of 3 correct, you will win a signed poster at our next show for Dardar. And your first question, what stage of sleep is most commonly associated with dreaming? A, N1, B, N2, C, N3, or D, REM?
I kind of want to say D, REM, because that's when you're in the most deepest sleep.
All right, final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct. It is D, REM. And actually, most interestingly, N3 is actually the deepest form of sleep.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, REM is when your brain is doing its repair process.
Hmm.
And that's what causes the hallucinations, which are dreaming. Which, oh, if wow. You actually think about it, you know, dreaming is we lose consciousness and hallucinate vividly.
I hallucinate when I'm awake, so there's that's
all right. One down. Get one more right and you've won the prize.
Okay.
Question 2. What Native American tribe invented the dream catcher? A, Cherokee. B, Navajo. C, Ojibwe. Or D, Sioux.
Oh, man. That is a hard one. And what's worse about the options is the fact that I actually have part Cherokee Indian in me.
Oh, really?
Yes, but I think it's C. I can't pronounce that, but I think it's C.
C, Ojibwe.
Ojibwe, okay, yeah.
You are correct.
Nice!
And if you actually see on TJ Kellis' shirts, which you can pick up at our shows, TJ actually has a t-shirt design that incorporates a dream catcher into it.
Yeah.
All right.
Right, but it's even better to be lucky.
Oh. All right. And you've gotten 2 out of 3 correct. So you have won this signed poster for Dardar. Congratulations. Now, on our first show, we had Dexter Roswell on. And so far, there's only been 2 people who've gotten all 3 right. And that has been Dexter Roswell and our co-CEO, Phoenix. Do you want to try to be the third?
I mean, I'm setting myself up for failure, but high risk, high reward.
All right. Your third question. What is the phenomenon of falling in your sleep and waking up called? A, bouncing. B, hypnic jerk. C, narcolepsy. Or D, sleep bruxism.
Ooh. Man, well, if, and this is just basing off of everything, you know, falling in your sleep and everything, and then you would kind of have a jerky thing going on. So I would have to say B.
B, final answer?
Yeah, let's go for it.
You're correct. That is 3 out of 3 correct.
Nice.
And narcolepsy is actually when you just randomly fall asleep. And sleep bruxism is grinding your teeth.
Nice. That's very interesting. I've been out of school.
Well, congratulations, TJ, for answering all 3 correct and winning that prize for Dardar.
Man, it's fun. Based that off of Dare to Dream. That's interesting.
And TJ, when we get to the show, I'll be looking for you. I'll be the girl in the black shorts and striped shirt. That's from Dardar. And Dardar says, thank you.
Not a problem.
But TJ, I am absolutely looking forward to your match. I mean, I'm entirely certain with you and Tobias in the ring together, it's going to be just an absolutely high-flying, spectacular match. Is there anything about Tobias that worries you going into that match?
Everything.
Everything?
Everything. Not one thing not worries me. Because he's got the upper hand. He's got the build I don't. He's got an extra person out there with him. His biggest upper hand, he has the championship that I'm wanting. But also, he has the upper hand with, he's willing to do whatever it takes, no matter good or bad, to keep, you know, what he's got. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, but I also have a certain limit because I base myself off of, you know, a set of rules. But he doesn't. So everything scares me about that with him, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm amped up, and without being too nice about it, I'm ready to get to the 18th. I'm ready to kick his butt, and I'm ready to be the new Genesis Wrestling Lightning Champion.
I've seen you with gold around your waist before. I think you look good with it around your waist again.
So do I.
But in 16 days, you will have that opportunity.
It can't come fast enough.
You know what? I agree with you because there's a lot that we've got going on that show. I mean, just to run down the card here with you, we've guys had Logan Ridge versus Sid Holland. Logan Ridge, who, as we said earlier, you defeated.
Yep.
But he's no longer associated with the New Deal, as far as we know. And this match was set by Jason Halbert because he wants to see them, as he put it, beat some sense into each other.
Yeah. Which, funny fact, I don't know how many people remember this, but who was all at the show at that time. I have only actually been in the ring opposite of Sid Holland once. And 3 minutes in, I actually had an accident and got, you know, 8 staples in my head that night.
Oh, my.
Ever since then, we haven't, you know, gotten the opportunity to try to run it back, which kind of upsets me, but also kind of don't, because he's a big boy and he scares me. But yeah, a little fun fact. Some people know it and some people don't. I actually have a scar on the back of my head due to a little accident, which I feel bad that it happened and that we didn't get the opportunity to completely do that match and fill each other out and all that stuff. So, I just want to, you know, put that out there and say, I love you, Sid, and all that stuff. And I will never forget how nice he was to me and how caring he was to me with that incident. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you and I appreciate you to Sid Holland on that fact. I never got the chance to, and I wanted to since, you know, it showed that. And it just hit my brain. So sorry for going on a ramble.
No, it's all right. I'm kind of hoping we can actually see that getting played out, as you said.
Yeah, that would definitely hurt, but yeah.
Well, I mean, not the accident, you know, an actual, you know, you and Sid going one on one.
Yeah, an actual successful match. Yeah, that would be a good one. Whether it's a dream match or whether it actually happens, you know, you never know. But it would always be in the back of my head of, you know, what could have been And that was a tag match, so it would be different, you know, now as a singles with him and everything, especially with how much I've improved compared to back then and where he's at now.
Yeah. And also we'll be seeing Dirk Harfer going up against C.W. Graves for the Chaos Championship. C.W. Graves won the Chaos Championship after defeating Sid Holland's undefeated streak for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Which, have you ever stepped into the ring with either one of them?
Yes. I have actually been in tag team action against CW. And boy, was that an experience. I've also been in tag action against the Heathen's Army. In the same match, I lost the tag titles to the O'Neills.
That is correct. Yes.
So, yes, I've been in the ring with all of them.
Yeah, that's going to be a wonderful competition. And then we're also going to have the FAM taking on TNT FAM, looking to recapture the NGW Tag Team Championships after, you know, a little bit of trickery on TNT's part. Took the opportunity to play a little switcheroo, which Scott didn't catch. Thus, why he was at the eye doctor today.
Yeah, I can't wait for that match as well. Kind of jealous that I'm not in the match against TNT and all that stuff. Because you know they're a really big name, and I honestly like being in the ring with bigger guys, and all that stuff, and with there being two of them, and they almost look identical, almost. But not quite.
And it was amazing to see them come in their first time in New Genesis Wrestling and capture the tag team championships. But they said they were going to do it.
Yeah, they said they were going to do it. And it shocked me when it actually happened. I was not expecting it whatsoever. And I was sitting there watching it. And
no, I don't think anybody was.
I was like, oh my God. But now that they have done that, now I want a piece.
And speaking of coming in for the first time, we'll also have our first time competitor, Mickey Myers, taking on Dexter Roswell for the NGW Heavyweight Championship. And we could potentially be seeing a repeat of the FAM versus TNT. Dexter could be losing that championship to Mickey Myers. Mickey Myers, well-traveled professional wrestler, has traveled in 3 different countries. He has worked for promotions all over. He's worked for AEW. He's worked for GCW. So he is no stranger to coming into a new environment and facing off against a new competitor.
Yeah. Myers, don't know much about him. And I haven't seen much of him. I just recently watched a match or two of his. So it's going to be interesting to see that unfold. I know a lot about Dexter because I worked with him in Stride, at Ignite, every company. And literally, he is one of the best. I would say that about Midas, but I really have not seen much of him. I haven't had the opportunity to, and I wish I did, but you know, certain circumstances for me at least, I haven't been able to. So it's going to be interesting to watch it in person and see how it unfolds, most definitely. Yeah,
that one is very interesting to me. It's Dexter's second title defense.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of another first time in New Genesis Wrestling, we'll have Lexi Green, whom we've seen multiple times before, taking on newcomer Nyx in the first ever qualifying round for the NGW Women's Championship, which our co-CEO Phoenix announced last week. How do you feel about us getting a women's championship?
In all honesty, I'm very excited about it, and I'm like, about time. I'm huge fan and a huge supporter of women's wrestling and women getting their due. Huge. Of course, you know, everybody You know, it's no secret. Everybody knows my wife's, you know, trying to get in the business. So with that, you know, opportunity later on down the line, maybe it opens the door for her to possibly, you know, become a women's champion because of that right there. So it's going to be awesome to see all that unfold. And I can't wait to see the unveiling.
Neither can I. I am excited because every single championship in New Genesis Wrestling, in my opinion, looks absolutely gorgeous. And I don't expect this to be anything less than breathtaking.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And every single, each one of the women's matches until the end of the year is going to be a qualifying match building to the final, in which we will crown the NGW Women's Championship at the end of 2025, which is a wonderful way to end the year, crowning a brand new champion.
Oh, most definitely. I cannot wait to see all those matches unfold, what happens.
Yes.
I've experienced, you know, Lexi Green in person, and she is terrifying. But cool at the same time, because I like the dark, creepy stuff. So it's fun for me to watch, but watching it in person is honestly actually terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, Lexi is she's terrifying, but she's also very enchanting.
Oh,
but yes. On the other hand, Nyx is a powerhouse.
Yeah, which I cannot wait for them to mix it up and see what comes.
Yeah, that's going to be incredible, and I am looking forward to the entire year of 2025 and GW and watching all the women's matches that are going to be coming down the line.
Oh yeah, most definitely. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, and we are also going to be having PYT being locked up while Playboy Double H faces off against Ricky Cruz in a Fans Bring the Weapons match, and fans actually voted for the match to be a Fans Bring the Weapon match. They decided that they didn't just want to pick the match. They want to have a little bit of involvement in the match.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how ever since this podcast has started, Playboy has been a very hot topic name.
Yes.
Brought up multiple times, which is funny because in all honesty, being, you know, biased, unbiased, whatever it is, you know, just being who I am, I'm personally voting for Ricky.
See, I was asked last week who I would pick to be the winner of this match, and I said that speaking strictly from a photography standpoint, I would pick Playboy because I think that Playboy would make the more stunning image of him and the rest of PYT standing over Ricky Cruz at the end of the match.
Yeah.
But the whole element of the Fans Bring the Weapons, that's just, we have no idea what we're going to get in that match.
You know, if that did unfold, and I was thinking about this ever since, you know, it was brought up ever since you mentioned that, I was thinking about it, and it just made me laugh. I was like, now, was it really just the picture of him doing that? Or was it just because there's going to be a lot of pink? But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Fans Bring the Weapons match. It's going to be a really good one. Long time coming for, you know, this, you know, with everything, because they've mixed it up multiple times. You know,
yes, they have.
Multiple different results. And it's, you know, it's gotten to this point. So, yeah, I'm personally rooting for, you know, Ricky, but that's just the fan in me. But I just can't wait for the whole match itself to just unfold, regardless of who comes out the winner.
Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
You are a fan of wrestling.
Yes.
You're a fan of NGW. You going to be ringside with a weapon?
Probably not. Because, and here's why I say that, because my biggest hopes, I could be confident all I want, but my biggest hopes is to be, during that match happening, I will be celebrating with my new championship.
And I try to be partial, or but not partial, but impartial. I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, no matter what, you and Tobias is going to be a hard hitting match.
Yeah, literally,
it's going to be spectacular.
Oh yeah, it's going to be very exciting. And the fact of the matter, I'm coming in as the underdog because, you know, I have a history of getting my butt kicked throughout all my matches.
I mean, we do have to face that you don't have nearly as impressive of a record as Tobias going into this match.
Nah. So that tells me right there one thing. I've played it too safe all these years. It's time I got out of that box. I, you know, chanced it a little bit more. And, you know, I shot for the ceiling. Because playing it safe has, yes, gotten me this far for all these years. But what has, on paper, is shown I have accomplished. Other than a bunch of matches, a bunch of companies, but more of a loss record than a win record, and only one championship. And the biggest highlight is that, you know, I'm a high fly now after a shoulder surgery. I want that highlight to be next time that this underdog, this high flyer, didn't just come back from a shoulder surgery and become a high flyer, but he came back to be the man. He came back and proved everybody wrong. Regardless of my body size, my height, my in-ring style, it don't matter. I'm coming into 2025 with a chip on my shoulder to prove that I can be a top guy and I can win championship gold. And I'm not just going to be, you know, a walking stone. I'm not just going to be, you know, oh, they're going to, you know, that's just going to happen. I want them to be, oh, he's facing TJ. Oh, I want to see this.
You know, everybody who's been on so far has said that 2025 is going to be their year.
Well, there's also a difference. Because look at Dexter's accomplishments. How many accomplishments he had. That compared to mine, very bare bone. And everything like that. So 2025 is going to be a lot of people's year. 2025 is going to be a great year. And a lot of stuff is going to happen. But for me personally, knowing what I have accomplished and knowing what I can accomplish, as long as I put my mind to it and as long as I prove to myself I can, sky's the limit. And I hope that my accomplishments are 3 pages long by time, you know, 2025 comes to an end, hopefully. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but it's just, you know, me being confident about coming into the new year being different.
TJ, as we head off here, where else can NGW fans catch you in action?
So I will actually be at Ignite Pro Wrestling in Mount Vernon on the 4th. Then also New Genesis, IWA Productions, and I also wrestle at No Fog Pro Wrestling. And you, if not too many people are familiar with me, I do have my own YouTube page to where I have all the shows on a wrestling matches playlist to where they can go and watch all that back. And I try to keep that as currently updated as possible. So, Ignite, New Gen, IWA, No Fold. Am I forgetting one? Let's see. I think that's it.
And we went ahead and posted a link to your YouTube page in the chat here so everybody can go and check that out. But if you want to see TJ in action in 16 days, go to ngw.ticketleap.com to pick up your tickets.
Yeah.
All right. TJ, did you have anything else before you sign off for the evening?
Matter of fact, I'm just looking forward to this new year. I'm looking forward to kicking January off big. And I'm looking forward to seeing the fans, you know, in person again. You know, we took December off. So I'm looking forward to being back in that ring, back in front of the crowd. And let's get it going.
Oh, you got cut off a little bit there, buddy.
Ah, that's okay. I'm just looking forward to the new year and looking forward to everything that, you know, we can get accomplished, you know, us and the fans. I'm looking for everything to go bigger and better.
Oh, I definitely am looking forward to seeing you this weekend and in 16 days. TJ, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come on here.
All right. Outstanding. And as I said, in 16 days, New Genesis Pro Wrestling, Endless Winter in Muscoda, Illinois. Adult tickets, $10 in advance if you pick them up at ngw.ticketleap.com. And with that, I haven't seen anything else from Donde, so I really hope that Donde picks Scott up because we're going to need him here, you know, next week, hopefully. But congratulations again to TJ for getting those two, all three questions right, rather, and winning that poster for Dardar. And everybody have a wonderful new year. And I also, before we sign off, want to give another shout out to our wonderful sponsors, Nick's Home Decor, Bi-State Termite and Pest Control, Needful Things in Muscoda, Illinois, Laser Monkey Engraving, Ringside Buffet in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and our newest sponsor, Ringside Rivalries. Check them out on both YouTube and Facebook. And we have Car.go in water. Okay. Well, I guess that Scott is going to need to fill out an insurance claim on his car after all. Everybody have a happy new year, and we will see you back again next week at 7 p.m. for our next episode of NGW High Voltage. Thank you for joining us.